cliffcentral.com.
All right, our SME showcase portion of the business masterclass. Adam is staying on with me as an experienced SME owner and innovative thinker. And we just discussed, in fact, e-commerce in business. How do you get closer to your customers through e-commerce? And that deserves more conversation. But now we look at an SME owner. And Tsoho-san has a, you go to hash Tsoho Entrepreneurs, and they, for the last few years, they've been developing entrepreneurs in their space. And then they have like a competition every year where five finalists are announced and then finally a winner. And it's quite a prestigious thing. It's been interesting to be involved there. I was involved as a panel of judges, and we interviewed these five individuals. One of them tonight on the platform, Lucille Creeman, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Cresco Tours.
Yes.
So you take people on tours.
I do.
Now, before we get to know about your business, tell us your background. Because you haven't been doing this for 20 years.
No. I started off in banking, in PR, in HR, and then I moved into an NGO with Mark Peters. We were in part of Junior Achievement.
Okay.
And during that period, I was studying part-time, managed to get my BCom and end up in marketing and sales management, and got into the food industry and worked my way up. So I've worked for the likes of Nestle and Nutritional Foods, and then I went to 3M. I was a product manager on Post-it Notes. And somewhere along the way, I'd said all my life, even at school, I wanted to have my own business or businesses. Mm. It was actually businesses. And the opportunity presented itself at 3M, and I started a marketing consultancy, and then 2 years later, I started the tour operation, and that's just blown my mind. It's an amazing industry to be in.
Adam, a lot of jumping around. I mean, I'm trying to think now, do I see a golden thread? Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting.
It might just be entrepreneurial opportunity. One might want to ask Lucille what your sort of core values were that have been the consistent thread through all of these changes.
Growth. I had to keep on learning, and I knew I had to get as much experience as possible because I knew I wanted to have my own business. So I was one of those staff members that kept coming to you and saying to you, please give me more. Have you got more work for me? And so wherever I went, I actually grew very fast.
So the only real golden thread in your career has been a desire to one day have my own businesses.
Correct.
And therefore you learned about product development, I guess. You learned about marketing.
Market research.
About admin, management.
Human resources. Finance. Because I handled a lot of finance when I was at Junior Achievement. And that's where I learned your finance, your accounts have to be very strong. Because your accounts can make or break.
Mm.
So I've learned to chase. I'm not a person to ask for money for myself, but for my company, I can phone, pick up that phone and ask where the money is.
Well, you've got to chase for yourself too.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
But a lot of people are not successful, I think, as entrepreneurs because they can't ask.
You learn
ask
to ask.
Ask for business, ask for your money.
True.
Ask a price. You know, it's all about asking. And for some people, it's almost against their values to say, hey, listen, you're 60 days outstanding. I need that money.
Correct.
And to admit that, listen, this is putting strain on my little business.
It does.
I can't say, heaven forbid that I say this is putting strain on my business. You know, you've got to put your pride in your pocket and ask. But so did you ever almost lose track of your vision of starting your own businesses in these corporate careers? One can get hung up and, you know, you can get sidetracked. A corporate environment sucks you in.
It does, and especially when you're growing a brand really well and growing fast. And you're achieving growth. I was lucky I achieved growth figures that not normal people do, but I'm extremely driven. I've always been driven. And I think that's one of the things to be an entrepreneur. You have to be driven and have that goal, know where you want to go. So I've always known where I want to go, and that's what I go for.
All right. Now, let's fast forward in your career to how long has Cresco Tours been around?
8 years.
8 years, so that's quite a while. And just tell us about that leap into Cresco. You were running your own marketing company,
yes,
right?
Yes, and then my lifetime partner, Ian, lost his job, and he had just bought a Mercedes. But it actually goes back before that. They just opened Murrumbeen, and we'd done a lot of sightseeing, and we went there, and I said to Ian, I'd love to take people to see places like this. So he said, why don't you, which is a bit fatal because then I run with the thing. If you say to me, go for it, especially if Ian says to me, go for it, I run.
Yeah.
So I started doing the research. So I actually, when I looked at my notes, I actually started the research when I was still in corporate. So it was already in the back of my mind to get into that avenue.
Oh.
And we love traveling. So that's also one of the aspects. We try and treat the people that are with us as how we like to be treated. So you're not just another bum in the seat. You're actually a person in our vehicle and we get to know you.
And we're going to give you a great experience, yeah.
Absolutely. And it keeps coming back. We've got people coming back year after year.
Mm.
And going back to what Adam was saying earlier on, I also use WhatsApp, and I recently did abseiling and quad biking. I just sent an image out to all the people, my previous clients, and said, oh, this is me quad biking, this is me abseiling. You know how many hits I got back? And I was told, we want to do that when we come back.
Mm.
So e-commerce does work.
All right, so just a little bit back again. So you started Cresco Tours. You researched it a while.
Yes.
And there's a bit of a passion for traveling, and the own business thing comes into the picture. So tell us about day number one when your doors opened. And it was romantic, wasn't it? This is going to be so,
great. It was absolutely exciting when you get that first sale, because we went out to the clients who were our marketing clients and said, look, we're starting this touring company. So we do airport shuttles, we do transfers, we do day bookings, we do guided tours, both Ian and our professional guides, and we do self-drive packages. So the first one was a transfer to, I actually remember what it was, a transfer to Ivory Tree in Pilansburg, and we did the booking and the whole lot, and it was so exciting. Because you could give your knowledge on the route all the way to Pilansburg and back and about the animals. And I think if you enjoy giving information and receiving information, this is the perfect job for you, because you're going to have an Adrian or an Adam in the car, and there's different industries, and you learn about the different industries or the countries that they come from. So if you love learning, this is the perfect job, because also you're going to get asked questions about something that you've never ever thought of, and like, well, how did Joburg get its name? And you have to quickly Google.
You've got to actually really be interested in that route or whatever you're
absolutely
doing. I mean, I've been on a Land Rover, I don't do it these days, but with a tour guide in Kruger, and you've got some of them where when they're done with you, you just somehow want to become a guide. Because they make the bush and the animals and everything sounds so interesting. But then you discover something interesting. It's like these Americans who do speaking tours. They do the same speech over and over, all over the world, asking millions of rands. And guess what? It looks like it's the first time they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's like a great doctor. You're a 5 o'clock patient that day. They've seen dozens of patients. But when you walk in, you feel like you're the first one. Now, same with the tour guide. I remember in London being on one of those buses, and the guy turned to this high court saying, this is the highest court in the land. The way he said it was, hold on, every country's got a highest court in the land, but he said it like, wow, highest court in the land in London. It was so interesting. Yeah. This is where one of the famous, who's the guy who plays the piano?
Elton John
took on so-and-so, I don't know, a big case. Remember the landmark case? And yeah, people going, and I just thought, wow, what an exciting job every day. But actually, there's probably a hell of a lot of boring elements to it. So in your case, how do you just do Soweto area? How broad does your services go?
I do Soweto. It's one of our biggest sellers for a Johannesburg tour operator guide. Soweto.
You do all over Joburg?
But we do all over Joburg, Gauteng. We qualified for Northwest Province, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, and so I'm writing on. You have to write exams on each province before you can guide in them.
Okay.
So we're busy studying KZN at the moment, but I can guide in the other provinces. So we do go up to Kruger.
So you do. It is actually broader than Gauteng.
Yes, definitely. Otherwise, you'd go mad doing Soweto 7 days a week.
But what I was saying. I mean,
what you do is you actually take a different route in. The clients don't know, so you just enter it from another way.
Make it interesting for yourself.
Absolutely. So you've got to realize that you've got your speech has to go the other way all of a sudden, and it keeps you on your toes.
It's South Africa, surely, it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. We know that.
Definitely.
You would be on top of that. There's articles around it. So I can imagine maybe our economy will crumble and rand become weak, but tourism must have a future.
Well, we saw in December when the rand fell, I have never been so busy, because Gauteng is, Joburg is normally a business traveller, and we go very quiet over December, January, because everyone goes to Cape Town. This last December, we were so busy because the rand fell. There were so many foreigners coming in. So if the economy crumbles, the rand goes down, the tourist industry is the place to be.
Scores in dollars.
Yes.
Yeah. But a wise man who had a diving school told me once, when I remember engaging him, and he said, I said, wow, you go to Sodwana all the time, you do diving. And he said, listen, it's the worst job in the world, because when other people are relaxing, you're working your backside off. And I kind of resolved then to never have a business where I work my backside off when other people are relaxing and having a holiday or eating out.
You're very wise.
So you're exactly not that. You're in the game where you're working hardest when others are having most fun.
Yeah. Correct.
That can't always be nice. And then, of course, you go on holiday when it's quiet, I guess. Or you never go on holiday.
I'll tell you when I get to go on holiday.
Okay.
Good, we work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, especially the business travelers, got the weekends free. So when you're having a bright, we work in.
Exactly.
But it's the people, because you got a person in the car that's going to ask new questions, and you actually get to see your country through their eyes. So it's like looking through a baby's eyes. So you get to fall in love with your country every day.
Hmm.
So it's really the people that make the difference. And it's also what you give into the person on the tour, you're going to get right back.
Hmm.
And all you want is them to say, wow, I learned something. Because that's what I'll say to them. Have you learned at least one thing today? And they'll say tons. And what we also do is we always give them a small gift. So wherever we go, so it's representative of that area.
Hmm.
So we create unforgettable memories. It's not like you're going to forget Soweto. I'm going to give you a keyring with the gold dust from Soweto, the mine dumps.
Mm.
So when you see it on your shelf, you're going to say, oh, yes, I was in Soweto. The whole thing is so that you don't forget where you went in the country.
I'm guessing while we may see South Africa in very negative light with politics and economics going down, and you know, there's a downward spiral, from your side, you're being forced almost to see it through positive lenses all the time.
We do, but the tourists are extremely wise. They know exactly.
Of course, they're informed with the internet, so they do ask
absolutely
difficult questions. Do they ask political questions? Do they ask all kinds of?
Most of the time, they ask political questions. We get asked about crime. Before, it used to be at the first e-toll. Now it's as they get into the vehicles. The local tourism bodies are aware of it. I sit on Joburg Tourism Business Forum.
Mm.
They are aware, and we had a meeting last week with Gauteng Tourism, so they are security plans in place for us going forward, thank goodness. But you just reassure them and tell them it's like any big country, big city in any country, and they understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And touch wood, I haven't had an incident in our 8 years.
Well, good luck with that. Just before we ask you about your e-commerce and bring Adam into the conversation, how has it really been to run your own business? So all your life, you wanted to do it 8 years ago, plus minus, you jumped into it, hands and feet and mind and heart and everything else. But how has it really been? I mean, we can pull a youngster aside who wants to start their own business and say, oh, it's so wonderful. But the truth is, it's tough. How has it, give us a realistic feel of what it's been like the last 8 years.
In the beginning, I would have told everybody, and I did tell everybody, to get into tourism and be a tour operator. And then 2 years ago, when we had the visa and the unabridged birth certificates kick in, it hit us really badly. And you don't know some days how you're going to get enough money to pay your accounts that month. So it's really tough, and it can put a strain on your relationship, especially if you're working with the person you love. And I think also maybe it helps because you can forgive each other a lot quicker. But if you'd asked me last year or the year before, I would have told you not to get into the game.
Mm.
And then this year, I'm flying high again, so I'm bouncing and I'm telling everybody, get back into the industry.
So it's an up and a down thing, having your own business.
It is very up and down. And I would tell you that when the times are good, save as much as possible, because you are going to have down times. And if you're getting into your own business, have at least 2 years' salary saved before you get in. Because all of a sudden you're going to find you don't have a salary that you had each month, and you don't have weekends.
Mm.
But it's really, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, I guess all things considered, the ups and the downs, if I asked you, do you want a corporate job or do you want your own business, you'll probably still lean to own business.
I would.
Mm. But there were times that you would have said, oh, I don't want to be here. Adam? Yes, Adam? It's not easy.
I can identify with that a lot, except I knew I was a little bit uneducated in terms of not knowing my own self, my personal values, what would or wouldn't work. And so I kept on falling back on corporate jobs every time things got tough in business, only to discover I could never, ever, ever survive in corporate because I'm too strong in my need for autonomy.
Mm.
So I'd end up in corporate trying to change things and then become very frustrated very soon afterwards and leave.
Yeah. All right. Do you use e-commerce in your business? You mentioned an example earlier. So do you,
yes, we do.
Have you over the last 8 years seen yourself being sucked into it? You've got to do it more and more. Tell us about your e-commerce experience with your business.
I'm also old school, so there was a little bit of resistance. We had a website, and I would tell people to make sure they have a decent website, because since we paid a bit more for our website, we got the search engines right, we're getting a lot more hits off our website now as well, which I think has contributed to our success this year.
Mm.
So I would tell you to get that. And on your website, have the links to the various places. We're on TripAdvisor. So like you'd mentioned earlier to Adam, your clients want to know if you're reputable or what the tour's like. So they can actually go onto TripAdvisor and see what other people's comments are about our tours.
Mm.
So I would tell them to have that. And we've got a place on the at the end where you can ask questions or about tours, and we always get back within 24 hours, if not sooner. And then you've got to keep that engagement on the emails going as well. I work with another lady who's on Twitter, a tour operator in Cape Town, and she says it works brilliantly for her. My problem was with, I went Twitter and Instagram, and it ate up all my data, and I got a wonderful bill at the end of the month.
Okay.
So I have been advised to set up a separate phone and get a data bundle for that, but I did have a heart attack a few months ago.
Okay.
I think one of the things you say there is very important. If you're going to have an e-commerce or a web presence, and you're going to invite people to communicate with you, that you have to be diligent about getting back to them as fast as possible. Even 24 hours is acceptable, but it's not great.
No.
People have become, I know my customers become very surprised when they get an immediate response. But that's just because I'm the same as you. If somebody wants to communicate with me, I will make sure I try and get back to them as soon as possible.
I do, because I want responses immediately. Yeah. So I like to get back as fast as possible.
Yeah. And so part of your e-commerce strategy has to be having the processes behind the scenes to man that communication.
Correct.
If it's required.
And Facebook as well. People love Facebook. But I haven't seen that many sales come through on Facebook.
Not so much.
Well, anything come to mind, Adam, in terms of how – there's a lot of tour operators, surely, in South Africa. We're a tourist destination. I can think even more so around Kruger and, let's say,
Cape Town.
When people come to South Africa, then Cape Town and Kruger would probably be kind of high on their list. Anything she could do on an e-commerce strategy basis? You mentioned something now, but anything else that pop up in your mind to help her differentiate perhaps, or look at that value chain and the touch points and things we spoke of earlier?
Well, I think one of the things that Lucille mentioned was getting her website designed, and I think part of that whole e-commerce strategy is not to outsource one of your most important things to somebody who doesn't understand your business. So people will call a web designer and say, please design my website, and you'll almost abdicate that entire process. But it's so essential that you design everything that goes into that website, from the way it looks to the way it feels to where customers click and what information they're going to find. And again, it goes back to understanding what customers want to do on your website.
Mm.
So if they want to search and once they've found you, they've got questions, you've got to understand what questions these people are asking and how you're addressing those easily so that you're helping them make that buying decision.
Okay.
And just having a Facebook page is not really going to tend to business, as you said.
And also my designer, I'd worked with her because she was in my marketing consultancy. So Sarah knew me, but I had done research and I knew exactly what I'd looked for, who the top tour operators or in the travel industry had a really good website, and pulled from that. But even down to the little map that we got on our first page, it was our concept. We wanted it there, and then we run it through to our brochure. But it, you have to have a hands-on approach there. Just don't go, like Adam said, don't go and dump it on somebody and hope they're going to give you the best, because you're going to get rubbish.
Sure. How has your journey with Tokosan been?
Oh, fantastic. I can't thank them enough. I'm sitting here. The experience has been mind-blowing. I can't even express the gratitude that I've got through the program, and even the back support that I've got from Soga. We get a coach, and the coach was actually what encouraged, who encouraged me to enter the competition, because I thought, okay, I'll give it a year for the next one, because Nomsa was brilliant last year. So whoever of us win, we've got big shoes to fit in. And I, and as you, Adrian was actually in the interview, my interview, and we, in the process of trying to acquire another company, Tsukusa actually made one of the staff members who's in the purchasing of companies available to us, and he gave me such valuable information and advice on the process going forward. So I would tell anybody who's a serious entrepreneur and wants to grow, take this journey. It's really worthwhile.
Really been worthwhile. Look back quickly. What do you wish you knew in the beginning that you know now? So talk to the younger 8 years ago, Lucille. I mean, what do you wish you knew now, then, that you know now?
To use my savings a little bit more wisely, because I'd come from a marketing background and I tried to keep up my standard of living the way I had been in the corporate world. And you've got to make adjustments. I would tell a person to make adjustments right from the beginning and work frugally with their money. Because your money runs out very quickly, and people will come to you and say to you, this is a really good strategy. Advertise here, advertise there. And when you don't know the industry that well, you take out an advert in the magazine and you waste your money. So I would tell you to seek more advice from people in, that have been in the game a lot longer. That's what I would have said.
So usually there's always a financial answer to that one. What do you wish you knew before? But you're also mentioning seek advice.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not easy to run a business these days. Competition is high everywhere.
Correct.
We're a very diverse world. A lot of options. There's no shortage in options. So how do you differentiate yourself? How do you do it differently? Well, you say the future holds an acquisition or
I'm hoping
another business potentially.
Correct.
And of course, you really can't prepare yourself well enough for that, like you couldn't prepare yourself well enough to run your own business.
Correct.
But what are you looking out for there? I mean, this is quite a interesting disruptive thing that may happen or may not. Although it's not big scale, but for you it's big.
Oh, it's very big.
Whether Toho goes and buys another hotel, whether you go and buy a small tour operator.
Correct.
Why are you doing that? Is it to get more presence in another province?
In other countries.
It's beyond
the borders. This particular company's got direct market access to the UK travel agents and the Canadian travel agents. And it's very difficult as a small company to get access to international travel agents. And this company's been in existence for a number of years, and they've built up a reputation. So that's what I'm going for.
So it's to get access to international travel agents?
Yes.
Rather than, okay, interesting.
Because they already selling to this client's already selling to them, so we're just going to take over what you would call the goodwill. That's what we're looking at.
All right, and your vision?
Keep on growing.
Just grow.
Yes. Cresco means to grow and expand.
That's the meaning.
So the intention, I set the intention from the beginning.
Do you want to win the Togo competition, or is it just like nice to participate and we'll see what happens?
I'd like to win it, but we're up against really strong people, so I'm glad I'm not on the panel of judges.
Yeah, there are some solid people there. Yeah.
We're a very strong group. I think that you've got a very tough decision to make there, but we got on really well, which was nice. No one was trying to push their weight around or say that they were better than the others. We just gelled as a group. We still communicate with each other. So it's, and I'm actually working with one of the other participants, the NQ Jewelry. So he's in Soweto, and I was in Soweto too.
Yes, we had him about two weeks ago.
I listened to the interview.
Dynamica, yeah.
Very
he's
nice.
He's also got a good chance like you.
Yes.
So we wish you well. I mean, We want our SMEs to succeed. That's why the show runs. That's why we bring these guys in. Any final comments or advice or anything from your side, Adam? You're connected to one of the great business schools. You're a flipping small entrepreneur carving your way in this, or navigating your way in this crazy world. What would you say to our guest? And then I'll ask you finally to give advice to other SMEs.
I think one of the things that I would advise to small business, if you'd have asked me what I'd missed when I started my business, or what I wish I'd knew then, was a lot more about leadership. Even though the business doesn't necessarily have lots of employees, because leadership is about developing your confidence, about developing your vision, about understanding yourself before you start leading others, including your business or your customers through this vision that you've set for yourself. And that particularly made a profound difference for me in my own experience, and I'm sure for many young entrepreneurs out there without that sort of deep-rooted grounding in leadership, it would make the world of difference.
I agree with Adam. You need to know also where your weaknesses are, and don't be afraid to ask for questions. I would ask questions and seek advice. I'd say if you're passionate about something, follow your passion. I met resistance. I mean, the family asked me, why do you want to leave a well-paying job to do what you're doing? But it was my passion, and you got to keep on going at it. You're going to hit really rough patches, but just keep on going. Don't give up, because the next day will be better.
And because it's your passion, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Oh, no. It's not going to be easy.
In fact, is it your passion that's pulled you through? Is it pride that's pulled you through? Is it ambition? What do you think has pulled you through over these difficult years?
I keep telling myself that I don't fail, so I'm not going to let it get me down. So it was true. 2 years ago, 2014, I actually thought, should I actually throw everything in? And we were selling off assets to pay the bond, and we just stuck it out. The corporate world didn't want me back. But you have to surround yourself with positive people and keep knocking on network. My biggest thing is networking. Go out there, network. You'll find somebody that's going to want to help you. People love helping people. So go out there, find people that are positive, not energy vampires, and keep on networking and knocking on doors. But don't give up. It's really tough, but carry on.
But in the end, Lucille and Adam, and all our entrepreneurs out there, I don't know that you can call yourself a small business owner or entrepreneur if you haven't been through those difficult times.
Sure.
If you haven't had to sell assets to stay alive, if you haven't had to go to the bank and have conversations you would never want to, if you haven't worried, really worried in time, surely you haven't really been an entrepreneur. And especially these days, things are really tight out there. It's not easy.
Very tough.
So well done for sticking it through, and now it's looking up, looking good. But as you say, the bad times will come again. Often when you take it to another level. So when you now merge maybe or you acquire another business and you go to another level, well, then it's new things to learn, new scale.
It's like adopting a new child. Because at the end of the day, your company is your baby.
Just
and
because
you go
think
through the same problems, the teething problems, the teenage years.
But yet different, because every child is different. So
correct.
So you end up thinking, okay, well, I've brought up a couple of children. I'll know how to deal with this one. But guess what? No, you don't.
Another surprise.
Another surprise or two. Thank you so much, Lucille Creeman, one of the five finalists at the Tsoho Entrepreneurs Competition. And it's great having you in the studio with us. All the best with the competition, and we'll see you in the next few weeks, no doubt, at one of the lunches or dinners, or look forward to that. And, of course, Adam Rabinowitz of Imaginate, thank you for joining us as always.
Thank you, Adam.
I think we must get you into Run the Business Show every now and then. You know it. Sort of co-host it or host it.
Sure.
All right, next up, Youth Leadership Platform. Stay with us. We're going to have a conversation. It's kind of maybe close down the conversation around fees must fall, and then talk about cancer awareness. CliffCentral.com.